Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 8th of June, recording at 9:11 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Stock markets were hemorrhaging once again, except in the U.S. The U.S. hemorrhaged early, but then closed unchanged to very modest gains in here today. Interesting. And government bonds, pretty strong here. Again, people retreating into bonds against the background of these panicking stock markets. But the gains weren't, when I say pretty strong, moderately strong and among the government bonds. That's certainly understandable, connected. The US dollar, perky in here today, and that has gone very much in line with the sharp stock market sell-offs, something I've certainly discussed before, another predictable development. Precious metals, most metals actually hemorrhaging in line with the stock market sell-off, but some firming in after-hours trading, notably in copper. Gold's also off its $5 off its lows. And that's helped, of course, by the steadier action on Wall Street towards the close. And anything on the upside? Well, there couldn't have been many things. Just on the screen immediately in front of me, natural gas is one of the few gainers in here today. Modest gains, but nobody left to panic out of it, I guess. Okay, so where do we go from here? Well, I've spent a fair amount of time here today writing about the central bank policy and updating my market comments. Incidentally, let me make a relevant digression here at this stage. I'm way, way behind on my emails, and I've had plenty of them. And I am also way, way behind in checking through all the various interesting articles that people are sending in. Now, that's partly because I felt that under these unusual and interesting and challenging conditions, I really ought to do more of a sort of a daily stock market diary, since that is an area of huge interest for many investors. And so many other markets are taking their cue from stock markets here right now. And I can cover the slightly more broader picture in the audio commentaries. But what we will do is that Owen and I will sift through all of those reports and articles, and we will post the more interesting stuff in the forum, where people can peruse it should they wish to do so. But that's a bit of a variation from the more reports that you usually find in Comment of the Day. And no doubt I will get back to that in time, but perhaps not just yet. Okay, so ham-fisted central bank activity in here today, with people talking tough on inflation. Well, you know, we hardly heard a word about it for a long time. We got all these sort of complacent reactions or denial, you know, as the inflationary pressures were building up. Veteran subscribers who have been through this whole whole saga with me, you know, I maintain that the central banks sowed the seeds of inflation, a new inflationary cycle, long ago, but then inflation would pick up very gradually, and we would see it least or last in the manufacturing sector, in most areas of the manufacturing sector, not all areas, exceptions, but in areas like mining, manufacturing. So what do we have now? Well, mob psychology among the central bankers, all deciding to talk tough on inflation and a number of interest rate hikes. Now, there are dangers in that, as I've pointed out, and I won't review all that here right now, but the risk is that they trigger a much faster rate of descent, and I think that's what we've been seeing in the last few days, than might have otherwise actually occurred. And the more sensible strategy, if anybody's listening out there among central bankers, more sensible strategy is that you start to raise your interest rates early on, if you're trying to check markets from from overheating. And if you wish to head off the inflationary pressures, and a number of them actually did that, but once the markets start to correct, you don't give them a shove on the way down. They'll fall of their own weight, most definitely. But they've been giving them a shove on the way down. So what might that do? It might cause a bigger overall correction unless they turn dovish, which wouldn't surprise me at all. I said get many more days. I think I said yesterday, the day before, you get many more days like this, and they will, I suspect, turn a bit more dovish. And if they didn't, if they kept shoving these markets on the downside, they would risk a sharper, not just stock market sell-off, but economic contraction than they would want to see. That's for certain. Now, the two don't automatically go together, but it's would hardly surprise anyone, or we don't need to have a doctorate in economics to know that if sentiment deteriorates quite sharply, that would cut back on CapEx expending, and it would cut back on consumer spending, and hey presto, suddenly the bottom falls out of GDP growth for a while. So central banks are playing with a bit of fire in here. Now, how do we handle all this? Well, a number of subscribers have a fair amount of cash. I'm relieved to have a fair amount of cash, mostly built up, as you know, from trading operations earlier in the year. I had cut my trading operations way, way back, but I've got too much red ink on what I've still have open, which is certainly a reflection of the more difficult environment that we see here right now. If I have one big regret, it's that, well, it's not that big a regret, but it's that I didn't, having opened some hedge shorts against my investment positions in stock markets, some asymmetrical hedge shorts, heard me use that term before, in early May. Then after the first couple of weeks of the decline, that sharp decline, sensing the markets are going to steady a bit, I covered a lot of them, not all of them. I didn't cover my Dow short, for instance, which is one of the bigger ones, but I covered the others. And then I kind of thought about reopening them again when markets had moved above the levels that I got out, but I didn't. And so I missed the, in terms of my hedge shorts, this latest downward move. But the important point on that, because not everybody's interested in my portfolio, understandably, but the important point about that really is that rather than hand-wringing over here, over profit erosion that I had quite expected to see, very predictable profit erosion in some of my favorite core positions. I had decided long ago that I would asymmetrically hedge against that profit erosion. But rather than, as I say, hand-wringing over that, I am thinking about what I want to buy next. And if central banks, the more they react in here in the short term, the better the buying opportunity will actually be. And I expect this whole thing to be done and dusted in terms of the correction. Technical bear market, mini bear market, whatever you want to call it, by the end of October at the very latest. And at this pace of descent, well, we would get to important lows a whole lot earlier, and some real value is beginning to reappear. And I want to emphasize that point, some real value in these markets. And that doesn't mean that the valuations can't get even better, so I'm not going to rush in. You deal with a market like this the way you deal with a falling knife, in terms of trying to catch a falling knife, very gently indeed. So I'm happy to be inert here and just watch and wait. But as I say, I'm thinking about what I'm going to be buying next because value is returning here. And the world is not going to go to hell in a handbasket, to coin a phrase. Although some of the hyperbole that we're beginning to see in terms of market commentary, does reflect a little bit of thinking along those lines. And then remember the frustrated bears, the people who were pretty well bearish, maybe before the crash of 2000, after the crash of 2000, bearish during 2003, 4, 5, and into 2006, and are suddenly all coming out and saying, "I told you so," and giving really, really draconian forecasts. So I regard that as a contrary indicator here overall. Okay, government bonds. I have no interest in retreating to them when I can retreat to cash if there's a marginal difference. I'm not, in other words, if bonds outperform a bit in here, as they probably will, because of some temporary buying or retreat to that sector. That difference in performance is not sufficient enough to entice me into what is a secular bear market and long-dated government bonds. So I'm happy to hold the cash. I'm not trying to maximize return here in the short term with more risky ventures. And if the bonds surprise on the upside with a rally, I'd be absolutely delighted to reshort across the boards. Okay, U.S. dollar. Again, this is something that's cropped up over and over again. Say, when the markets are really weak in here, you tend to get the dollar pushing up as people go out of positions they've held, and a lot of those positions will be held by Americans pushing money back into the U.S. dollar as funds come out of emerging markets and out of resources and so on. And then, of course, we had the appointment of, is it Crone, Corn, I think, deputy to Bernanke at the Fed, very senior, highly respected guy. That was last month. And then the Henry Paulson to head the had the Treasury. So Bush administration shored up its team quite significantly, and that gave a little bit of backbone to the dollar at a time when a lot of people were actually quite short. So that's firmed the dollar up, and of course that drags down precious metals in dollar terms a bit. If that dollar continues to firm up, I'll put it this way: it's creating another good shorting opportunity. Although I'm not tempted to go in here just yet, but I suspect we've seen at least half of the U.S. dollar rally that we're going to get. And in terms of the resources, well, medium-term correction here as well. Again, it'll feel like a bear market if you're long in some of these resources, but I think this is all very much within the overall secular bull market. And gold and silver are back in buying ranges, but to put that in perspective, it doesn't mean that silver can't go to $10 or even $9. That's not a forecast. I'm just saying that in commodity markets, they're very volatile. They can easily overreact. These market moves do become overreactions quite frequently. But gold back here, not that far from the $600 level today, and that's less. It's last trading at 612.75. Got down to 607.85. But this is a buying area in here. It doesn't mean it isn't going to come lower temporarily, but I think that additional decline would be short-lived, and I would wager that a year from now, gold and silver will be higher, possibly quite a bit higher. And energy fell a little bit, possibly getting, well, certainly being dragged down a bit by the stock market sell-off. Again, that's the contagion risk in terms of all the resources that it had good moves on the upside, and possibly the al-Zarqawi news death had a bit of an influence there overall. That incidentally is extremely good news. I think just about everybody listening would agree with that. It does buy some time, some much needed breathing space for this new Iraqi government. And I think an attempt at democracy is still the best bet in terms of what are the various possibilities here for those long-suffering people in Iraq. But hopefully, with Zarqawi out of the way, I mean, I don't doubt that there are plenty of other people who want to step up to try to fill his shoes. And the sectarian strife has been massive, as you know. It's been a deteriorating situation for quite some time. But to have a figurehead, organizer, and brain behind it all, or behind much of it, removed like that, his shoes are not easily filled. And hopefully this is a victory for the moderates. And in terms of what brand of Islam people actually aspire to, I think this is also a development that is a small step in favor of the moderates in terms of this whole Islamic reformation that's taking place. But I digress, and I'll draw this to a halt and just say all the best, and maybe we'd all like some market action that's a little less exciting. Well, I would for one. All the best.